Well, let's turn in our Bibles, please, this evening to the book of Acts, chapter number 9. And the Lord so saw it fit to have a missions emphasis, particularly today. And it's a blessing to have a couple of missionaries with us this evening. And we need to be stirred up about missions, not only during our missions conference, amen, but throughout the year. And I'm thankful for the emphasis we've had this month in supporting and hearing from missionaries. And this evening we're going to look at Acts chapter number 9, verses 22 to 25. And I believe here we see a little wonderful truth and an example about being a support and being a part of the missionary teamwork. The title of my message this evening is Holding the Missionary Rope. Holding the Missionary Rope. Look with me at Acts chapter number 9, verses 22 to 25. But Saul, which is the Apostle Paul, increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. So here we see the Apostle Paul in the city of Damascus, and here we see the Apostle Paul boldly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was recently saved, and he didn't take any time to let others know what Christ had done for him. Verse 23 indicates what the Bible tells us later on, that after many days, that is, some time took place, a number of years, where the Apostle Paul went into Arabia to be prepared of the Lord for the mission field, and then he returned back to Damascus, and the Bible says that the Jews took counsel to kill him. They wanted to end his life. They wanted to get rid of this missionary that was about to launch out. Notice what verse 24 says. But their laying await, which was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Let's read verse 25 together out loud, shall we? On two. One, two. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket, holding the missionary rope. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word this evening. And Lord, we need you to open our eyes. And Lord, we need you to challenge us and to encourage us. Lord, to lift up our eyes and to look on the fields that are wide unto harvest. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have here in this nation to meet this evening. We thank you for the freedom we have to go to the mission field. We thank you for those who are going and those who have gone. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have and being a part and partnering with those who are serving in the regions beyond. Thank you for our mission field here in the city of Cairns as we labour. And Lord, as we focus on your word this evening, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. May he be our teacher this evening and lead us into truth. And Lord, we ask you that you would apply your word to our hearts. Lord, we would leave here with a fervent desire to do more and to be a part of the reaching, Lord, the gospel outreach here in this city and in the regions beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. William Carey has become known as the father of modern missions. He was a missionary that served in the country of India for many years. Some of you may be familiar with his name. When he was preparing to go to the mission field and he was raising funds in England to support his missionary work, he told people this. He said, I feel like that there's someone calling out from the depths of a dark well, drowning in a well, and calling out for help. And Carey said he was willing himself to go down into that well to save the man, but he needed some people to hold the rope for him while he went. Several men volunteered to help Carey in the work, holding the rope for him back at home, raising funds and praying so that he could do what God had called him to do, to go down into the well, to go to India to serve the Lord there in that nation. Now, since William Carey, some approaches, some methods in missionary work have varied throughout the years, but the idea and the truth of people going and others who are responsible for staying and sending and supporting the work hasn't changed. You see, either you and I are surrendered and willing and called to go down into the well, to go down to the mission field, either we are going down to the mission field, or we need to be willing to hold the rope. Amen. Amen. We need to be willing to hold the rope. It is either one or the other. And today I thank God that God continues to call men of God to preach His message throughout the world. But don't forget it, He's also calling God's people, God's local churches, to stay and hold the rope and to send others on their way. Look with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. The Apostle Paul spoke about this truth here in Romans, chapter number 10, verse 13. In verse 13, we see the gospel miracle. Romans chapter number 10, verse 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But notice these familiar verses in verse 14. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now notice verse 15, and this is what we're speaking about tonight. "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" The word "sent" there means to be sent on a mission. And my friends, just as much as people need to go to the regions beyond, the nations beyond our borders to preach the gospel, the Bible says very clearly, "But how shall they preach except they be sent?" You see, the Apostle Paul knew what it meant, what missions truly meant. He knew that there were some that must go to the regions beyond, but he knew that there are others that must send, that must support that missionary. And this evening we're going to look at some wonderful principles from these verses in Acts chapter number 9, verses 22 to 25. And have a look at the part that we all have to play in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. See, the Apostle Paul knew that missionary work was teamwork. And I believe here in verse 25, he knew that more than ever. You see, they were trying to kill the Apostle Paul. And God had called the Apostle Paul as a missionary to the Gentile. He was the first missionary that was to be sent out to the regions beyond, if you will, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But his life was in peril. Here we see his dramatic escape from the city of Damascus. The Bible tells us that a group of the Lord's disciples came to the rescue of the Apostle Paul. The Bible says that they lowered him to the ground in a basket, and they literally held the rope. Now, we don't know what was attached to that basket. The Bible doesn't say. It could have been some material strewn together, or it could have been a rope. That basket was perhaps a basket that carried fishes or bread, but it was large enough to carry the Apostle Paul. And so often we read these verses, don't we? We notice the Apostle Paul, but we don't notice the disciples. And this evening I'd like us to focus on the disciples, the ones that held the rope, amen, so the Apostle Paul could safely reach ground and safety. And today I want us to look at the importance of the rope holders, the ones who are willing to send, the ones who are willing to support a missionary, if you will, in this little picture from the Word of God this evening, holding the missionary rope. What lessons can we learn from this event here in the book of Acts and the truths of the Scriptures this evening? Well, first of all, we'll notice that holding the rope, supporting missionaries, is our privilege. Supporting missionaries is our privilege. You see, the Bible says in verse 25, "Then the disciples took him by night." Who is him? The Apostle Paul. You see, there was someone important at the end of the rope, amen? There was someone important at the end of the rope. And these disciples, perhaps, they didn't really know who they were letting down in the basket. Perhaps they didn't know exactly who this man of God was. But they knew that this was important. They knew they needed to help out. And there was a And we see in the Word of God this evening that holding the rope was their privilege. Holding the rope is our privilege. You see, they knew the Apostle Paul had recently been saved. They knew that he was bold in his faith. And in verse number 20, we see that he preached in the synagogues boldly. But they probably had no idea how greatly God would use this man. Now, Ananias certainly knew. Have a look with me in Acts chapter number 9. This is the message that the Lord said to Ananias in verse 15 concerning the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter number 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, God told Ananias to receive the Apostle Paul because he was a chosen vessel. He was a chosen vessel of God, the missionary to the Gentiles, and he would preach the gospel before kings, before Jewish kings, as we read in the book of Acts, before the Roman hierarchy and Roman kings, if you will, even within the very palace of the Emperor Caesar himself and to Caesar's household. You see, the Apostle Paul was called of God. He was a chosen vessel. And I don't think it's too much for us to say that he was no doubt one of the, or if the greatest missionary that ever lived, the great Apostle Paul. My friends, the great Apostle Paul went out and won innumerable souls, and souls have been saved as a result of his faithfulness. The Bible tells us that churches were planted, and from that innumerable churches have been planted since. And you know, we need to understand that we have the blessing of having the gospel in Australia, in the city of Cairns in 2015, because of the wonderful faithfulness of this man of God. He was a chosen vessel. There was someone important at the end of that rope, amen. Now, don't get me wrong, we are not exalting a man here this evening. But we need to understand that every missionary is a chosen vessel of God. Every called missionary is a chosen vessel of God. And it was these disciples' privilege to be a part of helping the Apostle Paul escape the city safely. Holding the rope was their privilege. And so too, my friends, let me implore you to see this evening that holding the rope, supporting missionaries, is our privilege. It is our privilege to support missionaries. You see, God has called each of us to a task. Amen. He has called each of us to be witnesses. Here, yes, in the city of Cairns. But not everyone is called to go. Not everyone is called to go to the foreign mission field. That is a special calling, just like the Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel for the calling of God upon his life. And at the end of the day, the glory goes to God. The Apostle Paul certainly taught us that in his word, in the Word of God. So often the Apostle Paul would praise God for the grace that he received, that God would use a wretched sinner like him. You know, Paul didn't exalt himself, but we need to understand that God chose a Saul, if you will, before he chose God. Amen. He was a chosen vessel unto God. And every missionary we have are able to support, my friends, don't miss out. It is a privilege for us to support them. They are called of God, and we need to see it as our privilege. Thank God the clouds were willing to go to the country of Nepal, amen, to go to Kathmandu, to go to that far-flung country and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you this evening, how many of us would like to go to Nepal? Would love to pack everything up and go to that country? Would be surrendered even to do that? I wonder if we find anyone here tonight. You know, it's our privilege, is it not? To support those who are not only surrendered, but when God says, yes, I want to send you, they have said, yes, I will go. There is a difference, by the way, in being surrendered and then going. And it is our privilege, my friends, to support missionaries. Thank God for the Evans family in Japan. Thank God for the crows in Papua New Guinea, amen. Thank God for the Winters and the Harrises ministering in Australia. Thank God the Dagan family is willing to go. It is our privilege to support you, Brother Chris. and your family. It is our privilege. And we need to not soon forget that. Now, sometimes we can become a little bit foolish about missions. We can forget the greater picture and how important missions is to the heart of God and how privileged we are to be a part of God's work. Notice with me in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. He was not only a chosen vessel, but what was his mission? To bear my name, to bear the name of Jesus Christ. My friends, why is it our privilege to hold the rope, if you will? Because those whom we support are involved in the most important work on the face of this earth. That is bearing the name of Jesus Christ to the regions beyond. You see, when we invest our time, when we invest our finances, when we invest our efforts in supporting missionaries, my friends, we are not investing we are not holding the rope, and at the end is a big lump of stock market shares, amen, of worldly things. Now, we are not holding the rope, and at the end, there are worldly things that will disappear with the extinguishing of this world. No, my friends, as we support missionaries, we are investing in eternal matters. We are investing in those things which are above. We are investing in God's work, and the call to preach the gospel is the most important work in the world. When William Carey was in India, he asked some friends of his to pray for his son, Felix. Felix had earlier in his life surrendered to be a missionary himself. And then, though he had promised to become a missionary, as he grew up, he reneged on these vows. And he was appointed ambassador to Burma by the Queen of England. And so Carey wrote to his friend asking prayer for his son with these words. He said, "Pray for Felix. He has degenerated into an ambassador of the British government when he should be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Amen. You see, the preaching of the gospel is the most important work because we serve none other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is why it is our privilege to support missionaries, that you and I can be involved in the most important work, the most important person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our privilege. Paul was an ambassador of the King. And each of the missionaries that go out to the field called of God are ambassadors for the King. Let's not forget that. It is our privilege, church family. Now, we may not know much about our missionaries. You know, it's a privilege to have the Dagans here today. And then they move off. They need to move on, amen. When missionaries come to visit, it's our privilege that they just have some time to come, that we can meet them and we can hear about the mission field. But God has called them to a place other than here to do the work of God, and it's our privilege. And we may not know much about them, and perhaps these disciples didn't know much about the Apostle Paul, but praise the Lord, it was their privilege to support the Apostle Paul and to be a part of this event in his life. We may not have any idea what God will do in the lives of the missionaries we support, but equally we, by faith, trust God. And what God has called them to do, God will finish. Amen. God is faithful. And we need to be faithful as a church to hold the missionary rope. Others are willing to go, but are we willing to be faithful? Are we willing to see it as our privilege? I trust that you are this evening. You know, I'm so encouraged, church family. One of the hallmarks of Coastline Baptist Church, I believe, was when we started Faith Promise Missions Giving last year. We were supporting one missionary. Praise God for that. And I thank you, church family, for being faithful. Now we support seven in less than a year. And church family, now is not the time to lose sight of the importance of missions. Now's the time to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ and to thank God for the privilege we have in supporting these missionaries. Because don't forget, they don't just need our finances, amen. They just don't need physical support. In fact, that's just a small portion of what God has called us to do. They need our spiritual support. They need the supernatural support of God, which comes through our prayers. As we view our part in world missions, it is our privilege. Secondly, notice with me in Acts chapter number 9. It is not only our privilege, but it is our God-given duty to support missionaries, to hold the missionary rope. It is our God-given duty. The Bible says in verse number 25, "Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." Now, the city of Damascus was just like many of the ancient cities of the day. It was surrounded by very high walls. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as the Apostle Paul recounts this event, that they actually let him down through a window in the wall. And he was carried down in a basket. But what I'd like us to see, very simply this evening, it's not a complicated message tonight, that the Apostle Paul couldn't get down on his own, could he? He couldn't get down on his own. The missionary, the man of God, needed help. And it was these disciples' duty to help this brother in Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. It was their duty as Christians to help the Apostle Paul. You see, they realized they had a responsibility. They needed to help get the Apostle Paul out of the city of Damascus as soon as possible and as safely as possible without getting caught. Now, notice with me, the disciples didn't just say, "Hey, Apostle Paul, here's a window. I hope you make it. It looks a bit dangerous. I'm glad you're willing to take the risk. You just go on ahead. We'll be praying for you." Is that what they said? No, they didn't. They were willing to get in and help, amen. And you might say, "Pastor James, that's ridiculous. Who would ever say that anyway in that situation?" Well, let me say this evening that sometimes that is our attitude to missions here in our church. We are glad when people go. We thank the Lord for them when they do. We say, "Hey, all the best and God bless you." But so often we are not holding on to the rope. We are not willing to get in and get involved. We don't see it as our duty as a local New Testament church here in 2015 to hold the missionary rope ourselves, to be a part of reaching this world for Jesus Christ. So often we have that attitude, "Well, I don't have time to get involved." Imagine if the disciples said that to the Apostle Paul. "Go ahead. Jump for your life. Take a leap of faith. Amen. God will protect you." Sometimes that's our attitude towards missions, isn't it? We let go of the rope. No wonder some missionaries fall today. And perhaps it's because there aren't churches and people of God that are willing to see it not only as their privilege, but their duty as Christians to be involved in reaching the world for Jesus Christ by holding the missionary rope. See, the man of God needed help, and it was their duty as Christians. The Bible says we need to love each other as brethren, amen? Love the brethren, preferring one another, loving each other tenderly. Now, the Apostle Paul needed help, but he also needed protection, didn't he? The Apostle Paul needed protection. It was their duty to help a brother in Christ whose life was in danger. Notice verse 24. It's very clear in the Word of God that they didn't just want to catch the Apostle Paul, those in Damascus, and of course the Jews which sought to kill him. But the Bible's they didn't just want to catch him. The Bible says that they wanted to kill him. That was their plan, to take his life. So the disciples decided to get together and not only help the Apostle Paul, but to protect him. The Bible says that they got involved to protect this man of God, this missionary. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. The Apostle Paul retells this account. He says in verse 32, "In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me." So the Bible says that soldiers were posted around the city walls and around the city in order to apprehend the Apostle Paul. In verse 33, "And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall," and notice this, "and escaped his hands." And what I want us to see this evening, that the disciples were involved in the Apostle Paul's escape. Amen. They were holding the missionary rope. He went down and they helped him escape. And I believe we see the principle this evening that it is our duty to support missionaries and to hold the rope. Why? Because they need our protection. Missionaries need protection on the mission field. And they need us to hold the rope. How do we do that? Well, come with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. If they are there and we are here, how do we help protect our missionaries on the field? Why is it our duty? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Notice the Apostle Paul's plea for prayer. Verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, brethren." What are the next words? Pray for us. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Pray for the gospel to go forward with power. Pray for souls to be saved. But notice verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not the faith. Notice the connection between prayer in verse 1 and deliverance in verse number 2. Prayer in verse number 1, by who? By the brethren, by the church. And then the deliverance from danger in verse number 2. How do we take hold of that missionary rope and hold on to it? How are we a part in helping our missionaries on the field? My friends, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for our missionaries. That's why it's our duty, because they need our protection. Now, we don't need to think very hard as we think about the Crows ministry. How much they need protection, God's protection on the mission field. I mean, it seems every year there's a new outbreak of tribal warfare. The latest events we heard was from the village of Tiute and the bloodshed that took place there. I mean, they need our protection. But they don't live in a country like Australia with the government and the laws that we have and the security that we enjoy. No, my friends, they need our prayers for their protection. You think about the Lewises. Think about the fact that they needed to come home from the mission field of Israel. Why? Because they were being persecuted for the way they were raising up their children according to God's word. They needed to come back. They couldn't stay in the country any longer. But thank God, God opened the door for them to return miraculously. But now they've moved to a city that's just down the road from the Gaza Strip. They're in the city of Ashkelon and bombs are flying and we are sitting here in our comfort, and sometimes we forget that it's our duty as Christians to hold the missionary rope. It is our duty to pray for our missionaries. My friends, they are under fierce danger, not only physically but spiritually. Brother Dagan was reminding me today of the immense spiritual oppression on the mission field of Papua New Guinea. You know, we don't know what it's like to live in a third world pagan country, do we? No, we live in a first world country with a Christian heritage. It's slowly dwindling away. But we don't live in a third world country with a pagan, animistic faith. And the darkness and the oppression that surrounds so many missionaries and that they are overwhelmed with and they battle daily with. My friends, we need to pray for our missionaries. And my point this evening is simply this. It is our privilege. But we need to see it as our duty to hold the missionary rope, to protect those in danger, those who are willing to go. We have a part to play, amen. We have a part to play in world missions. It is our duty to lend a hand. We need to pray. We need to pray for the clouds. This month, the government of Nepal are going to decide whether or not to allow freedom of religion into the constitution of the government of Nepal. My friends, that is a major prayer request from Brother Cloud. We need to pray for freedom of religion, for freedom to preach the gospel. Because there, as you know, Nepal is bordered right next to the country of China. And China rules with an authoritative hand over the nation of Nepal. It is our duty to hold the rope. But the wonderful truth we see, just the principle here in Acts chapter number 9, as they let him down by the basket, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians that he escaped out of the governor's hands. He escaped out of the hands of those who were seeking to kill him. And I wonder how many missionaries in the past have sent out prayer requests when their life was in jeopardy, and churches of like faith have prayed, and godly men and women of God have got down on their knees and prayed and besought the Lord, and they were delivered out of the hands of those that sought to kill them. My friends, we need to make sure here at Coastline Baptist Church that we don't let go of the missionary rope.
Amen.
Amen. It is our privilege. It is our duty. Now, if it is our privilege and if it is our duty, we need to understand one more thing, that holding the rope comes at a cost. Holding the rope comes at a cost. Follow with me back in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Holding the rope costs something. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 25, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. See, Paul was being lowered through a window in the wall of the city of Damascus because his life was in jeopardy. Why? Because he was doing what every Christian was called to do, to preach the gospel. But notice who lent him a hand. It was believers. It was Christians. You see, in helping the Apostle Paul, the disciples were in just as much danger, weren't they? Absolutely. They were in just as much danger of being caught and facing persecution or even death themselves. But that didn't stop them from helping the Apostle Paul out. They were willing to hold the rope, amen. They knew that it would cost something. They were willing to sacrifice. And that's an important principle we need to remember when it comes to serving the Lord in world missions. If you are called to stay here at Coastline Baptist Church, my friends, you and I need to hold the rope. But remember, it will cost something. We need to be willing to sacrifice. Holding the rope carries a cost. What are these sacrifices? Well, as we've mentioned already tonight, the sacrifice of prayer. The sacrifice of prayer. The Apostle Paul said to the church's brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Throughout the Word of God, especially the epistles, we see requests for prayer, and the Apostle Paul certainly didn't hold back his request for prayer, did he? No, he depended upon the prayers of the saints. And he said, brethren, you need to pray for me. He knew how much he needed the prayers of God's people to move the hand of God. Let me say this evening, prayer is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of time. Prayer takes time, amen. In order for you and I to pray, we need to stop what we're doing. We need to lay our plans aside, and we need to pray for our missionaries. I think of the fact that it wasn't just one disciple that held the rope. It were the disciples, the Bible tells us, plural. And I'm reminded this morning that it's the local New Testament church together that's to hold the missionary rope. And brethren, we need to be here on Wednesday night when together as a church, we pray for our missionaries. When do we get together to hold that rope together? As a church family. Well, we get together on a Wednesday night. That's when we get together to hold the rope. But don't forget, there will be a cost. There'll be a sacrifice of time. To pray. To seek the Lord's face. To invest our time in eternal matters. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, the Apostle Paul said, with all, also, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You see, prayer opens doors. Prayer opens doors to preach the gospel. And brethren, as a church family, we need to hold the rope of prayer, amen. But remember, there will be a cost. Cost of time. Cost of effort. It takes effort to pray. Prayer doesn't come naturally. You and I have a sinful, wicked flesh, and as the Lord Jesus Christ said to his key men there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My friends, we have a sinful flesh that doesn't want to pray. It doesn't come naturally, but thank God we have the Spirit of God that perhaps is urging your heart to be here on a Wednesday night to pray. And to pray for our missionaries individually throughout the week. Thank you, for church family, for your faithfulness in giving. But my friends, we need to be faithful in prayer, in praying. I'm encouraged that Sister Colleen has offered her time to put together a missionary update prayer requests on a sheet that we can have and we can read from, and in the days to come we'll have a sheet with the latest prayer requests on them, so that not only can we pray for them while we're here, but we can pray for our missionaries at home, in the privacy of our own home, in the privacy of our own prayer closet. That's what we need to do. We need to be more serious about holding the rope. Amen. But remember, it does take effort. The Apostle Paul, how heavy it was, it doesn't matter. It took effort for them to hold that rope. Absolutely. And my friends, it's going to take some effort, some sacrifice. And you and I to understand it will cost something. But thank God the rewards are eternal. The rewards are eternal if we choose to hold the rope, to make that sacrifice of prayer. And we encourage you, church family, to pray more for our missionaries this year. The more missionaries we have, well, the more we need to pray. That's what it amounts to. We need to be more faithful of holding the missionary rope. Well, holding the rope costs something. We think of the sacrifice of prayer, but also the sacrifice of, now put your seatbelts on, the sacrifice of fasting. The sacrifice of fasting. Fasting is a biblical principle in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus spoke about prayer and fasting. The Apostle Paul spoke about prayer and fasting. And we need to understand the importance of fasting in regards to missionary work. Well, fasting is simply a time where you and I choose to lay a meal or more aside and choose to take that time instead of eating, we choose to use that time in praying. In praying. And what is the purpose, you might say, of fasting? Well, we don't have time to go into an in-depth study, but simply to deny your flesh and mine and to allow God to lead us in the Holy Spirit so we can focus on spiritual needs instead of our carnal needs. To focus on that which is above and not that which is on the earth. And by the way, if the Lord says it's good for us and it's needful, then it is good for us and is needful. But let me ask you this evening, how many of us have fasted in this year past? How many of us have chosen to leave off a meal in order to pray for a missionary, that God would open doors for the gospel? Now remember, fasting is not just skipping a meal. If you skip a meal, that's not called fasting. That's called a diet, amen? That's called a diet. No, fasting is when we choose the time that we would eat and we commit ourselves to prayer. To pray for another. Remember, the Lord Jesus spoke about the importance of fasting when it came to spiritual and demonic oppression. And that's what our missionaries face. As the disciples came to the Lord in the book of Matthew chapter number 17, and they could not cast the demon out of this man, the Lord said in verse number 21, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." You see, holding the missionary rope will cost something. The question is, how serious are we? How serious are we in praying and fasting for our missionaries? Acts chapter 13, look with me there. You know, fasting is not only important for those who have gone. I'm reminded in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that prayer and fasting is vital in the preparation of a missionary. In the preparation of a missionary. The Bible says, in verse number 13, as Barnabas and the apostle Paul was there at the church in Antioch, the Bible says that verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Who is it that fasted? Was it just Barnabas and Saul? Notice verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." It was the church that prayed and fasted. In fact, they did that together. They prayed and fasted together for the sending of a missionary. And my friends, we need to be a church that's serious about missions. We need to hold that missionary rope before someone even goes out from us. We need to be a people of prayer and fasting and asking the Lord, "Lord, will you raise up one of our young people or even more to go to the mission field?" And it will take some serious Christians here. to be willing to pay the price, to make a sacrifice, to pray and to fast. And I shared this scripture verse with you this evening. I wasn't sure whether to or not, but the Lord said yes. That we have a young man in Vietnam that needs our prayers. And he needs us to fast for him. Brother David. Brother David has been called of the Lord to go back to Vietnam with the gospel. Now, he wasn't able to stay in Australia. And we are praying that Brother David would know God's will for his life. But what does Acts chapter 13 tell us? Whose responsibility is it to pray for the will of God to be revealed? Whose responsibility is it to fast, church family? It's not Brother David's. It's the church's. It's ours. It's our responsibility to fast and pray for David. Perhaps God hasn't shown David his will yet because you and I are not serious in holding the missionary rope. Perhaps God wants to get our attention, amen. Because Brother David is down this week. Doors continue to close. And I wonder if anyone's serious enough here this evening to pray for David and to lay a meal aside and to fast. Would we be willing to do that? So that God, by the Holy Ghost, would reveal to us the will of God. It may be that God has some plans in mind. And thank God, I hope it would be one day we can send David out as a missionary from this church. But he needs our prayers. But I hope you see this evening that holding the rope costs something. We can't just say we want to be a part of missions. And we're not willing to pay the price. Not willing to sacrifice time and prayer and fasting. How serious are we? And then lastly, perhaps the part of missions that in our flesh we don't want to hear about most of all, which is the sacrifice of giving financially. Let me close with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. The sacrifice of giving, financially giving to support missionaries. The Apostle Paul recounted in the epistles that the churches in Macedonia chose to support him as a missionary. They chose to give. They chose to give financially. And because of their giving, the Apostle Paul could continue on and do the work that God had called him to do. You see, the Apostle Paul was willing to go down into the well, amen? He was willing to go down. But he needed others. He needed others to send him. He needed others to support him financially. Notice Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Notice how God describes the giving of these Christians. The Apostle Paul says, "But I have all and abound. I am full. And having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God." You see, whenever we give, my friends, it is a sacrifice that is acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. But remember, it is a sacrifice. To give is a sacrifice. We need to be willing to pay the price. We need to understand that holding the rope costs something. In order for missionaries to go, well, how shall they preach except they be sent? My friends, how are they going to live on the mission field? How are they going to continue to go and to preach the gospel and keep going while we stay? Well, we need to support the rope by sacrificing in our giving. And it is a sacrifice. Giving to support missions is a sacrifice. It's not something that's meant to fit into our budget, amen? It's not something that is connected to the tithe. It's a separate giving. It's a giving from the heart by faith to support the cause of missions. The Bible tells us about these Christians in Macedonia. The Bible says that they were suffering a great persecution, and they were experiencing at the same time a poverty that you and I believe, would never experience, a deep poverty. And in their greatest time of struggle, in persecution and poverty, the Bible tells us that they gave a sacrifice that was acceptable and well-pleasing unto God. And their giving abounded to the glory of God. So I wonder, what excuse do we have in letting go of that rope? You know, if it's a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God, well, then we know, we don't need to wonder whether God will provide for our needs. Now, by the way, the amount that we give to missions, God doesn't promise to provide that amount back into our bank account, does He? No, He promises to provide much more than that. He promises to provide spiritual blessings from above, and He will provide for all our needs. But we need to understand that giving to missions is by faith, and it is a sacrifice. Just trust in the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, I want to hold the rope. I trust if you've been giving to missions in this past year that God has blessed you. I trust that God perhaps has tested your faith and you've been faithful and you've seen how God provides. Let me encourage you, church family. And now is not the time to think about the year ahead and say, well, maybe I shouldn't give as much, and perhaps we look at our budget. Perhaps God is testing your faith right now. No, this year we need to give even more to the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it will cost something, but God will bless us. And God will use us to hold the rope. Holding the rope costs something. We need to understand that about missions. It's great to get excited about missions, but it will cost you and I something. We need to be willing to pay that price and then rejoice in the rewards in the eternity to come. It is our duty to hold the rope, amen. It is our privilege to hold the rope. And lastly, we need to understand that holding the rope costs something. Let me encourage you, church family, to hold on to that rope tighter than ever, amen. To be a part of supporting missionaries more than ever. We need to do more in 2015. I'm excited by what the Lord will do through our church this year. But the greatest tragedy on the mission field is not when a missionary comes home, not when a missionary fails, but it's when the church fails because they let go of the rope, because they don't want to get involved. They're happy for them to go, but they don't want to hold on to the rope and support and pray and fast and give for the work of missions. I trust that won't be us this year, amen. I trust the Lord has challenged you as He's challenged me. Let me encourage you to commit your heart to the Lord and speak to the Lord as in the areas that He has spoken to you.